house of the Lord this morning. Take your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 12, and then Luke chapter 10. Just knocked this thing off here this morning. And I told the preacher sitting over there that his shoes look like Reese cups, peanut butter and chocolate, amen? And he said, "You got food on your mind." I said, "Yeah, I skip breakfast, amen." And so anyway, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And maybe John won't be long-winded today, and we could go eat supper, pray God. But anyway, we appreciate the goodness and thank God for the opportunity. And looking forward to the week, what God will do for us. And he is able to do great things. Several times down through the years, I've seen God save a great number of people in the Jubilee. And because sometimes people say, "Well, why would you spend that much money to have a meeting?" Well, if one soul gets saved, it's worth every dime that is ever invested. If one marriage is saved, if one individual is encouraged and strengthened, it's worth every dollar. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible said, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and he bare that was put therein. Then said Jesus, 'Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this.'" Now look with me, if you would, back to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. The text I just read you is the second time that we find Mary at his feet worshiping. And here in this text is the first time. The Lord helping me this morning, I want to preach on worshiping in your journey. Worshiping in your journey. Bible said in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving." I'll be honest with you, if you've served the Lord in any length of time at all, there'll be times that you'll fight that in your life. "And came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" First of all, we find here a servant named Martha. Let's call her a worker. Now, she, of course, there's a positive side to Martha. We find that, of course, that she was served in spite of the actions of others. It seemed like that Mary, of course, was not helping her. There'll be times in your life that you feel like that nobody else wants to help you serve the Lord. But can I say, you need to serve anyhow. Amen. In spite of the actions of others. In spite, number two, of the approval of others. It seemed that the Lord told Martha that Mary's doing the good part. Can I say, serving the Lord, sometimes it may be that it seems like that people don't appreciate what you do, but we're not serving men anyway. Amen? We're serving the Lord. What we do is for Jesus. Every dollar you give is for him. Every time that you do something for the house of God, it's for the Lord. It isn't for the preacher. Amen? We're not serving the preacher. Yes, we want to honor the man of God, but we're doing it for Jesus. Amen? She served in spite, number three, of the attention of others. You know, sometimes your service may seem to be ignored. I was in church one time and I got their bulletin, like we put out one here. And Brother Laddie, I mean, it was almost this bad. "I want to thank Tom for turning off the lights, and I want to thank Susie for vacuuming the floor." I mean, there were so many names on there, and I thought, does anybody around here do anything for Jesus? Amen? That we have to be the pat on the back. See, that's what, it's tough with preachers when they start naming names. because sure enough, they're going to forget somebody. And then that person's going to go home and the devil's going to say, well, he didn't even mention your name. He don't appreciate what you do. Well, we're not doing it for the pat on the back anyway. Amen. What a privilege, as I said last night, to serve the Lord. We see the negative side of Martha's service. Her spirit was hasty to complain. Now, there's not a person in here that is saved that doesn't complain sometimes, that we have so much to do and nobody seems to want to help. And we are living in that day. There is a difference. When I was coming up in the late 70s, there was much more help around the house of God and the things of God than there is today. Let's just be honest. The reason why, because people, Brother Danny, they're wrapped up in this world. They got too much going on in their life. And so her spirit was hasty to complain. God help us not to be a complainer this morning. We ought to be glad of whatever the Lord has given us to do. What a privilege to be able to serve and to do. Amen. Her spirit was hasty. Can I say that her spirit was haughty? Think about this, Brother Grant. She commanded the Lord. Think about that. She said, Lord, you bid her to help me. Wow, the audacity to tell the Lord and command him to do something. My goodness. But you know what? Sometimes we might do that, maybe not knowingly, but expect God to do something. I'm telling you, we're allowed and we're supposed to come, hallelujah, boldly before the throne, but not bossedly. We never come demanding and commanding. Many a time when I pray, I tell him, Lord, you know, I'm not demanding, I'm pleading, I'm bringing petition, I'm coming humbly, I'm not coming as a boss telling you what to do. I'm glad, thank God, that we have a God that does hear and answer prayer. Amen. Amen. We find her spirit was haughty. So we see a servant named Martha who was a worker, but then we see a sinner whose name was Mary and she was a worshiper. We see her position, of course, is at his feet. We see that her purpose, now this isn't going to be important later in the message. The purpose was to hear his word. I wonder how often we really hear his word. I wonder how often we really come to the house of God and we're really hearing his word. Then we see her portion. You know what the Lord said? He said, Mary hath chosen, Brother Dayton, he said, Mary chose the good part. And that shall not be taken away. You know who is the portion? He is. Asaph said in Psalm 73, he is my portion. Aren't you glad he is our portion this morning? And thank God that will not be taken away from us. And that is the promise. He said it shall not be taken away. You know what? We can worship him this morning as much as we want to. Amen. You know what he said? We'll see it here in a minute. He said the Father seeketh such to worship him. When's the last time you just had a good worshiping time? I was praying this morning there in my study and just worshiped him for a while. You know, there's nobody like him. There's nobody that's above him. He said, there's nobody even beside me. He's all alone who he is. When's the last time you just took some time to worship God? I tell you why people get burned out. And I tell you why people quit. It's because they get away from worshiping God. Worshiping him brings joy and praise in our life. There's a difference between worship and praise. Brother Lamar, it's worship in our private time that brings praise, that helps us to get excited about the things of God. Because, Brother Sam, we've spent that quiet time worshiping him, recognizing who he is. When's the last time you got caught up in just lifting up your hand and blessing him for who he is and what he's done, and the fact we'll never go to hell? I'm telling you, he's worthy of our worship. Amen. Worthy of our worship this morning. Let's go back to John chapter 12, if you will. We find here in John chapter 12 in our text, we find the object of her worship in verse 3. Of course, the person is Jesus. Now, let me ask you, young person, What is the object of your worship today? Who or what? Is it a young man, you young lady, that has more of your affection than Jesus does? I remember when I was dating a young lady in our church in Cleveland. And I happened to be going somewhere with Phil Kinn that day, and he was our assistant at our church for about, I guess, a year. And we went visiting somewhere. And we were sitting there in the waiting room, and he said, I ask you a question. He said, Geneva, that was her name, said, does she take anything away from God in your life? Does she help, as Brother John mentioned last night, your spirituality or hinder? I said, what are you trying to say? She's of the devil? And he said, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. But here's what I'm trying to say. What is the object of our worship this morning? What do we adore? Is it technology that we spend so much time on the phone and the computer or watching television? What has our affection? Amen. The person was the Lord, of course. The place that she was at was his feet. What a great place to be. The feet of Jesus. Worship is our greatest need. Worship is our greatest privilege. Worship is our greatest duty. Worship is invited. Worship is encouraged. And worship is commanded. He's seeking this morning. You know what I told him, Brother Chris, in my office today? I said, Lord, I'll be a candidate. Yes. I worship you. Yes. You know, one thing I appreciated about my dad is he worshiped anywhere he was. Right. Didn't matter if it was at Walmart. I've been in Walmart and he'd start shouting. And at my grandmother's funeral, they didn't let me have part of it. And one of my cousins kept pitching a fit until they gave me 5 minutes. And here we are. And that crowd was an old Methodist crowd that was dead as a hammer. And I got up and I just said, I've been preaching the gospel for 14 years. That's all I had to say. And Dad went, whoa! And it scared that crowd to death. Amen. I mean, it scared him to death. But I'm telling you, God help us to be at his feet. And he desires for you and I to worship him. Oh, and he's worthy of our worship. I believe we've gotten away from it in our life. That is why we're in a mess. That is why the church across the land is so carnal, because they've got a way of spending time at his feet. I tell you, get at his feet and spend time with you. He'll work in your life. He'll get some things out. He'll add some things in. The reason why we've got a carnal church that is full of the world is they're not worshiping him. They're not at his feet. They're at the feet of the world, at their music, at their movies. They're at that feet instead of his feet. If we get back at his feet, we'll get around the things of God. Amen. Amen. We see the object of our worship. Verse 3, we see the order of her worship. You know what getting at the feet is? It's submission. You know the difference between surrender and submission. Submission is it comes an act from the heart. It's an act of honesty. Surrender is you have no choice. Your back's up against the wall. And I'm not against that song. I was preaching, not this message, but I said something about submission and surrender. And they sang right before I preached something about surrender. And they came up to me and said, well, we're sorry. I said, nothing wrong with the I surrender all. But submission is an act of honesty.
Yeah, that's right.
From the heart. But also it's an act of humility. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, we live in a very selfish world. We're not willing to humble ourselves. You know why we don't have revival in the day we're living in? Brother John, you know why we preach revival and the preacher preaches revival and others isn't here? We preach week after week after week and really nothing happens in most places because we're not willing to humble ourselves. We're not willing to say, you know what? I'm not where I used to be. There are some people in this building this morning, you're not where you used to be. You used to have more excitement about you. You used to love God more. You used to enjoy coming to church. Now you still do, and thank God you do. But there's something missing in your life. And the reason why is you're not at his feet. You're not humbling yourself before him. And when he speaks to you and says, hey, you need to get that out of your life, you say, I like that too much. I think I'll just keep doing it, and you don't have the fellowship with him as you used to. Amen. Oh, submission. It's an act of humility. Then, of course, we see her sacrifice. You know what she sacrificed? Number one, her purse. Very costly. 300 pence, penny a day, almost about 9.5 months of a year's salary she had given to the Lord. Almost, can you imagine giving a year's salary to the Lord? We'd say, what? She saved. Brother Sam, this was a sacrifice for her. I wonder if we give when it hurts or to it hurts. You know, you remember that little lady that gave all she had? And the Bible said that there were some that gave out of their abundance. If you'll give and sacrifice, there'll be a day you can give more out of your abundance than sacrifice. Brother Sammy Allen can get money out of anybody. And I remember one of the first times I ever met him was in 1992 when I was in Mississippi. And he's preaching at the Unity Baptist Church where Brother Jacob used to be. And he brought his money jug down there. And he said, we got to fill it up for the camp. Got to fill it up. And I had $9 in change saved up. I'm talking about I was working two jobs. I didn't have no money. And the Lord said, I want you to put that in there all night. I said, Lord, you know I'm saving. That's all I got. I don't have a savings account. I've got $9 in some change. He said, I know, but I just want you to put it in there. Sacrifice. Well, 2 weeks later, I went somewhere and wasn't supposed to preach. This was in 92, and preached that Sunday and got about $300. And back in 92, that's pretty good. Amen. You know what the Lord said? If you'll obey me and sacrifice, I'll take care of you. And she was willing to give of her purse. Number two, she sacrificed her pride. She bowed down as a servant to wash his feet. You know, there's some people that they're too big to serve. I've said this before. When I became a member here, I'd already been preaching the Jubilee. I said to the pastor, what would you have me to do? You want me to vacuum the floor? You want me to take out the garbage? And I meant that. I said, I'll do whatever. And he said, just right now, you just stay ready to preach. And I said, that'll work for me. But I'll do anything. You know why? Because I don't mind it. Yeah. Brother Danny, there's nothing lowly about serving and cleaning tables and emptying garbage. You're doing the work of God. Amen. As she humbled herself as a servant. You know what? We forget how much of a joy it is to serve, how much of a joy it is to help. Amen. We find that she sacrificed her pride. Not only do we see the object, but we also see the ointment in her worship. Verse 3. That word spikenard means it was a perfume. It was a liquid perfume. And the word spikenard also means that it was pure. It had no additives in it. I wonder if our worship is pure this morning. I wonder if that we're just going through the motions. I wonder how many people in here, you read your Bible, but it's not real to you. And you go through your prayer time, but it's not really real to you. You hurry up and get through it like you got to get through it. I wonder if we try to put on a show and to worship to impress somebody. You know what? Our worship, thank God, it ought to be pure this morning. And He looks upon our heart anyway. Amen. He knows if we are real in our heart toward Him. I'm telling you, the Lord wants our worship this morning. And we need to worship in our journey. There's some of you, you wore out. And you need to get back to worshiping Him and spending that special time with Him and getting up every morning and adoring Him and lifting up your hands and bless Him. I'm telling you, it makes your day. Thank God when He shows up in your prayer time and you're bound before Him and you worship Him, it'll help you. Amen. We see the ointment, but then we see the odor in her worship, the aroma. You know what? That fragrance filled the house where they were at. But that fragrance, Brother Chris, of our worship fills the nostrils of God. He's pleased with our worship. Amen. He's pleased with our sacrifice. I tell you what's a burden on my heart. The average church I'm going in today, they're just there. They're just there. The life has gone out of them, and it's because the worship has gone out of them. Because they're not taking that quiet time to spend with Him and to worship. But Dave, we got to have worship in our life. We see the aroma, but then we see the effect of that aroma. You know what it did? It influenced everybody around her. You know what happened, Brother Andrew? Because she opened that spikenard and poured that perfume, it got all over the Son of God. And got all over her, got all over the one next to him, and got over the next one, and got over the next one. You see, that aroma, preacher, filled the house. Yes, you know what? When we spend time and worship Him, you know what it'll do? It'll rub off on somebody over here, and it'll rub off on someone over there, and it'll rub off on someone over there. If we get up Sunday morning and get before God and thank God, get in the closet and begin to pray and worship Him, you know what it'll do? Brother David, it'll rub off on others around you. How come some people come in and they're fired up? I'll tell you why. They've been praying and they've been worshiping. And you know what? That aroma, it follows them around. I'm telling you, you can't help it. It's everywhere in the house because they've been around Jesus. They've opened up that perfume and that aroma, it starts spreading. It gets everywhere. You can't contain it. It breaks out. It moves over here. It moves over there. Because, thank God, you can't help it. Amen. We see the effect of it. Then number five, there's the obstacle in her worship. The disapproval from guess who? The devil. No, Judas. He didn't like her taking that perfume. You know what he called it? A waste. Why would you take that waste? I got news for Judas. No matter what worship we give, small or big, it's not a waste. And I got more news for Judas. Jesus is worth a whole lot more than 30 pieces of silver. What is he worth to you? A CD you don't want to get rid of? What is he worth with you? A wardrobe you don't want to get rid of? What is he worth to you? He's worth everything to me. Had it not been, I wouldn't even be here today had it not been for him. Oh, he deserves everything we have because he's the one who gave it to us anyway. I'd be in hell with my back broke. But thank God, October will be 53 years that I've been in the family of God. I'm telling you, he's worthy and he's worth everything that we have. Amen. The disapproval of her worship. We see the deception of Judas. The Bible called him a thief. It's our English word that we have as a kleptomaniac, which means someone that cannot keep from stealing. The Bible said he had the bag and he bare what was in. That word bear means to lift. Judas stole from the treasury. What about that? He stole from the treasury. That is how bold the devil is to be in the company of Jesus and steal his money. But then there's people that don't tithe, and so they steal the Lord's money. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I was preaching several years ago, and I said, I'm going to tell y'all something. I said, if you don't tithe, God ought to burn your house down. Amen. There's a fella that didn't come for the next three nights. So me and the preacher went and visited him. I said, where you been? He said, you scared me to death. I've not been tithing. I don't want God to burn my house down. I said, praise God, get right and catch it up and start tithing. Amen. Yeah. I'm not going to pray God burn your house down. But what I'm just saying, amen, the devil, Judas, is the one who had a problem with her worship. We see his thought of a waste. We see that he was a thief. But then we see the Lord came to her defense. You know what he said? He said, leave her alone. He desires our worship this morning. Tucker, no matter how old you are, if you're 10, 11, 12, 9, 8, 7, if you're saved, the Lord wants you to worship Him.
Amen.
A lot of times young people think that, Brother Danny, they got to wait till they get older. No, 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 no. You can worship Him right now. Amen. You don't have to become a certain age. The Lord began to defend her. Then number 6, and I'm done, we see the outcome of her worship. We find that Jesus accepted Mary's worship. He'll accept yours. He approved of Mary's sacrifice, that she was willing to give her best. But grant, she gave her best. She gave all she had. No doubt, probably took her a long time to save that up, to be able to give it to the Lord. Sometimes we save up stuff and then the Lord wants it and we say, now, well, Lord, I kind of had a different plan for that. I kind of had something that I wanted to do with that. Can I tell you, you can never outgive Him. You can never outgive Him. I was going to sell my car to my sister. It was a Buick Enclave that Patty drove. It was a 2014. Had 118,000 miles. About a little year ago, the Lord said, no, I want you to give it to them. Give it to them. I said, well, now, Lord, you know, and He said, yeah, I know, just give it to them. I said, well, Lord, I can only afford one car payment at a time. I'm paying on this GMC. God, I need you to help me. You know what I did? I paid it off two years and 6 months early. I didn't do that. He did.
That's right.
So I just gave them the car last month. And now I got another one. I got another bill, but I only got one, you see. You can't outgive Him. If you are saving up something and He wants it, just give it to Him. He'll take care of you. It'll be all right. Amen. He appreciated and accepted her sacrifice. But I like this right here. Jesus acknowledged Mary's faith. Now think of this. The Bible said Jesus said she had kept us for my burying. But she didn't wait for them. She used it a week before at His crucifixion. You know why? Because she had heard His word. She sat at His feet. She believed that He was going to be crucified. But she also believed that He was going to raise from the dead. Matter of fact, she believed more than the disciples. Because the disciples, they didn't believe. When Mary Magdalene came and told them, they didn't believe it. The Bible said they believed not. You know what? You will find Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James. They were at the cross and at the tomb, but not Mary of Bethany. Why? Because she had been worshiping Him, and she believed His word, and she knew that He was going to rise up, and she said, I won't need this later. I'm going to give it to Him now. Amen. You know what worship will do? It'll increase your faith. Just spending time with Him. We're in too much of a hurry today. And when we do get in our time with Him, we're thinking about everything else under the sun except Him. He deserves our attention. He deserves our affection. When's the last time you really shut the door, shut everything out, and just said, Lord, I'm going to worship You. I want to bow down before You. Spend some time because I adore You. I tell Him every day, Brother Lamar, there's nobody like Him. I tell Him that every day. There's nobody that treats us like He does. Can you imagine the children of Israel, when Moses was gone for 40 days and they made that calf? Of course, Aaron lied and said it jumped out of the fire. But can you imagine that they said, Brother Sam, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. Can you imagine that? How that God must have felt what all that He did for them. Brother Grant, all that He rescued them from Egypt and that bondage. And here they are. They're saying, man, this God's the one who brought us up out of Egypt. You know, we kind of do the same thing when we ignore Him. He brought us up out of bondage. He set us free. We don't worship. Thank you, preacher.